Cornflower took a few paces back and pointed upwards.
I can see a wild goose carved this side. I can just make it out. Look, it leans outwards with its wings spread. Funny, I've never noticed it before.
The abbot settled his paws into his wide sleeves.
There are a great many things about Redwall that we do not know. It is an ancient and mysterious place. The longer I live here, the more I see how everything our ancestors built into it has a story or a reason. It is all part of the Mossflower tradition and history. The goose is facing west towards the sunset and the great sea. That is the way they travel each late season. I think the hawk must face north. It is a warlike bird, and the Northlands were always troubled by war. The owl, I guess, will face east to the dense forest and the rising sun. That only leaves one way for the crow to face.
The party walked round to the remaining side of the abbey. John Church Mouse adjusted his glasses and pointed.
South! The crow points south! What can't fly yet has a beak! The crow made of stone! Of course we found it! If only Jess or Sam Squirrel were here, they could climb up and investigate it.
Queen Warbeak puffed out her feathers.
Why squirrel climb? Sparrow fly! Me investigate on crow stone!
The Sparrow Queen was off like an arrow. From below, she looked like a small black speck as she hovered around the crow statue, which protruded from the high eaves. Warbeak did not stay long. She fluttered about, then winged down, landing with a sprightly hop on the gravelled path.
Much one of sign. Go this way, go that way, up, down, round, round.
Just as I thought,
John Church Mouse groaned.
There's writing on the statue, but sparrows cannot read at all.
Mordalfus nudged him.
Hush, John. We don't want to offend Queen Warbeak. She's doing all she can to help. We'll just have to think of a way to get a copy of that writing down here.
Warbeak watched them talking. She knew what they were discussing. Cocking her head to one side, she winked her fierce bright eye.
How you do that? Sparrow no can carry a mouse. Too worm fat. Too big. Sparrow no read on one sign like old mouse abbot do with book. Plenty problem.
The abbot stroked his whiskers thoughtfully.
Indeed it is, Queen Warbeak. But we must help Matthias.
Teach those birds to do a rubbing.
Ambrose Spike stepped forward with parchments and charcoal sticks.
I've often done it myself on some of the old barrel carvings in the wine cellar. Pretty patterns they got carved on them.
Cornflower clapped her paws together.
Of course, that's the answer. I'm sure Queen Warbeak could rub over a parchment with charcoal if her sparrows held that parchment flat upon the writing. Here, give me a moment or two with Warbeak. I'm sure I can teach her.
With no sense of night or day, it was impossible to tell how long they had been trapped inside the cave. The air had become thicker, more rancid and hotter. Matthias felt his head throbbing with pain. He tried to stop his leaden eyelids closing in sleep, and all around him he could hear the shallow, ragged breathing of the others. He had tried talking to them several times, but it was little use. They were all in a deep sleep, approaching a state of coma. Gripping the handle of his marvellous sword tightly, he tried to concentrate on a way out. There was little hope. They were entombed in a cavern of virtually solid rock, with a massive slide of earth and stone sealing the entrance. The warrior mouse could stay awake no longer. He leaned back against the gently heaving bulk of Orlando and let his resolve drift. At first, it was quite a peaceful feeling, save for the lack of air, which made breathing difficult and painful. But gradually, his senses began to numb, and he breathed shallowly in short pauses. As blackness enveloped him, the warrior mouse began dreaming. He was in the great hall of his beloved Redwall Abbey. Sunlight streamed through the high windows in a coloured cascade, filtering through the stained glass, weaving patterns on the cool stone walls. Matthias was walking towards the long tapestry. He knew where he was going, to see Martin the Warrior. Yes, there he was, the great founder, warrior and champion of Redwall, standing proud in the centre of his tapestry. Matthias was not at all surprised when Martin stepped out of the woven cloth and confronted him.